What?
Just kidding.
What? Now we're happy. So now we have two bathrooms, and now we're happy. You know, now we know what makes everybody happy. Have two bathrooms. And our speaker, our talker to share her thoughts this evening is somebody you all know. Every one of you know her, except maybe for Liz may not, or Teresa may not. But most of you will already know the young lady that's going to be talking here tonight. And she's part Indian, so if she starts hooping it up, don't worry about it. It's not some sort of an affliction that she had or anything. She actually is so much Indian that when they had their counselor, they invited her to come talk. So she dressed all up in her Indian attire and went to the council, talked to him, Canada, if I remember right, another time Washington, D.C., if I'm not mistaken. Hey, we have a celebrity here named Yolanda.
Yes, I'm Yolanda. Let's give it up for working bathrooms. That's how I really feel about it. Well, I'm really happy to be here. And usually, you know, my talk, my last one was a real stinkeroo talk. It was the worst talk I ever gave, ever. And usually Lindy and I, we critique each other's talks. But she was very diplomatic about it. You know, I didn't even ask her because I knew it was a stinko talk. And she said, Yolanda, you could have done better. I've heard better. And so it's like, that's right. So splitting hairs, this side of the room gets this look. And this side of the room gets this look. So I just thought I'd split the hairs now and get it over with. I like to speak tonight on the power of prayer, you know, and that power that I have felt all of my life. You know, to you, I may or may not look Native American, Indian, but I am. And even though I was born of that tribe, I don't look like the rest of them. I mean, they have the honkaroos and that, the skin to match, and they're tall and they're real, you know, and I guess a Spaniard snuck in there, you know, and I took after that little bit of the side of the family. But I'm the one who gets called on because I'm the oldest, and that gives me the responsibility to represent the family. So I go and I speak in their behalf. So that brings me to the thought patterns that I have learned in this congregation amongst all those that I love, all those that I have met yet to love, and all those that I'm going to meet to love. I get my thoughts here from this church, although not all of my thoughts represent the church. Let me make that perfectly clear. I get them elsewhere too, and I get them from out there, wherever that is. And so under inspiration, I do give lots of glory to God in the kingdom, and I ask for the Holy Spirit to be with me, because left to my own devices, I run amok, you know, I really do, and I have a really good time on the surface of this earth. This thought pattern has allowed me to set myself free. I turn my will and my life over on a daily basis in the morning, and I just do whatever, go wherever, and I know that sometimes I have to really catch myself because I start to slip. And slips are very easy to do. They're the little negative thinking, you know, just they're like little termites of the brain. They start to eat at you. And if you really feed them, then you wind up with a blockhead with holes. The termites are living in there. And then pretty soon those termites start to fly into the heart and nestle in the heart and starts to desire things which it should not. So my heart sometimes can be a very treacherous organ. So it is true what is said, to watch your words and watch your thoughts and watch your deeds. And for me, be careful for the books that I read, for the money that I pay to the movies that I see, you know, for those that stand near me and the words that go into my ears, for the people that I associate with, because it has been written that bad association will spoil useful habits. If your life is messy, you don't run with people who have messy lives. If you feel your life is messy, you run with people with the life that you want to have. Because it is our responsibility as human beings and those children of God to turn and help other human beings. It is in our DNA, no matter what our culture or our upbringing, to help each other. It is oftentimes in a catastrophe that lots of people come together and they start to donate and big things happen. Huge miracle things happen. Recently with that Hades catastrophe that we had, I know a friend, I think Barbara knows her too, Dr. Carol Jean Marot. I had a TV show one time and she was on that program. She was the granddaughter of a voodoo priest who lived in Hades. She lost some of her relatives and many of her friends. So she started collecting. She gave me an email and started collecting, and she was able to collect enough to feed 100 people, first from out of her pocket and then again with the collections. So prayers are very, very powerful. Because of the fact that we are all connected, we don't have to be there to feel the devastation. If you allow yourself in God's love to enter into the marrow of your bones, into the existence of your heart, into the settlement of your brain, then you will feel the other side of the earth. There's a sensitivity in the air. We breathe the same air, and so there's a movement and a vibration. And you can be the light on the pathway for others, that you can be that light for others, that they don't have to stumble all the way along the way. Because the real fact of the matter is that we really are examples for one another. We truly are examples, but yet still remaining humble students of life. I get a big chill on that one, because gosh, I'm still in kindergarten, and every once in a while I get to taste the first grade, and I think it's high school, you know? But I don't want to be in a rush. I don't want to be in a rush. I want to stay here as long as I can so I can earn my merits when it's time for me to cross over. You know, oftentimes there are those of us who lose loved ones to that phenomena we call death, and we come to understand that it's only but a chemical change, that life in itself goes on. It just goes somewhere else. It goes back to whence it came. It goes back to the Creator, the Great Spirit, from whence it came. But it can be called to mind as easily as dialing a phone. And oftentimes our loved ones will come and visit in the twilight of our sleep. For their purpose is not to frighten us. Because even those of us who sit here who are truly advanced, Millie being one of them, can be pretty spooked out if all of a sudden you see, you know, there's Grandpa, you know. And you know Grandpa's been gone for 20 years. I mean, it spooks you out. So most oftentimes they will come to visit in the twilight of sleep. You can laugh. It's okay. I have a good time all by myself. I live alone. It's no wonder. So I'm really enjoying my life at this time and my life's vibration. I really enjoy the magnificence and the power that consolidated prayer has. I have faced many trials and tribulations in my short life, and I have been able to have the strength to overcome them. For in my heart and mind, for every seemingly difficult situation, there is an equal and positive force. For everything that's ever hurt me, there's been a grand lesson. One of the toughest ones was not the time that I was a child and I had scoliosis and polio set into the spinal column. I'm a miracle. I can move my arms and legs. And most of the time, I can move my neck and stuff, you know. I wasn't supposed to have any kids either. And I got to do it two whole times from beginning to end. So, you know, who's to say you can't do things? We do not govern over one another. We have influence over one another, but only God has providence over life or death, not us. So out there where you dial 1-800 for psychic readers and all that stuff, and should I marry him? Should I not? Should I leave her? Should I stay? What about the kids? Should I switch this job? Should I take that job? When will I die? Do I have a death-defying disease? Don't waste your time, because spirit will come directly to you, directly to you. You will never get a negative message from a positive platform, from a loving platform that gather here, ever. If there is a warning to be given, spirit will come directly to you and will let you know. And if you allow yourself, you will know it. But if you do not, we fall into the comfort from myself, and as I have observed, the luxury of confusion. It's like a real swell bench in a lavish park. And you're sitting on this bench, and it's called luxury. And you're sitting on the bench because you're all confused. And confusion, all really confusion is the power to know what to do and not being able to do it. I'm confused. And that's okay, because the lesson in itself that allowed you to say you were confused will come up again. And the cunning, baffling, and powerful portion of the lesson coming back is that it comes up in disguise. Different places, in different people, or different situations or things. But the lesson in itself will remain the same until it is learned. Ah, you guys are good. You're so studious, and you're really giving me a lot of hope here. My daughter Iris has cancer, and there are four stages to cancer, and she is in stage 3, and it's pretty progressed. Right now, I feel that Iris is cancer-free. And Iris is cancer-free, although she remains under treatment. She has a port in her neck, and she has to go in once a week still. And it's almost been 2 years now. She's had a few horrific surgeries and almost died a couple of times, almost crossed over on us. As a result of the chemo, she suffered with congestive heart failure and wound up on a floor with a bunch of little elderly people. And she was up there, the youngest one, with full-blown congestive heart failure. That heart healed. Thank God for prayer. That heart healed because she was young as well. That heart healed because of the love that was felt all around her. It is said that Jesus' love was the healing ointment that let people be able to see and crippled people able to walk. It's that unconditional love combined with the prayer that allows us to do the miracles of today. It's that unconditional prayer that kept that car from running into you. It's the unconditional prayer that kills off death-defying diseases instead of killing the person. It's the unconditional prayer and love that we find that gives us the power and the strength to get through the most difficult times in our lives. We are not here by mistake. It doesn't feel that way to me, and it hasn't for a long time. I've been coming now for 22 years, and I almost completed 17 years of Millie's class. But I've only been a member for two. It took me 20 years to finally sign the dotted line. I had belonged to five different religious organizations before I got here. I stood on street corners with those magazines, you know, The Watchtower and The Awake, peddling magazines. I was the one that knocked on your door at 7 a.m. I'm looking for sheep. Sorry, we don't have any here. You know, just crazy stuff like that. And then I was a Nazarene, and they were kind of cool. They believed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That was their doctrine, the Nazarenes. And they had really cool campouts, really cool campouts. I really liked those. Then I was a little Baptist, and that was kind of fun. I was really young then, and I got to board a little yellow bus. It was so cute. And they drove us down to a little white place with a little steeple on it. But I wanted to be with the people, the big people. I wanted to hear the sermon. I wanted to hear God's word. But they separated us, the kids, and they had me in a room coloring books. That was not so much fun. I wanted to hear what the truth was. So eventually I left that too. And then I was a Lutheran. And Lutherans were kind of cool. They used to drink wine at confession. Yeah. Yeah. But a nice man, his name was Mr. Stiggy. God bless Mr. Stiggy. He was part of the San Diego Police Department. And I guess he saw in me that I was looking and searching, you know, for a power that I could understand for the creator of the earth, of the soil that we came from, and of the sky and the Father Moon and the stars and all that stuff. And he started taking me to this Lutheran thing. Well, I started getting addicted, didn't I? I mean, they had wine there, and it was pretty good. It's like I almost wanted to keep committing sin just so I could keep standing in line. It was just the weirdest thing there. So I was a Lutheran, a Nazarene, a Baptist, a Catholic, and a Jehovah's Witness. And then there was a stretch of time where I just kind of, if there is a God, then let him take care of my two little girls. If there is a God, let him pay the rent. If there is a God, let him find a way, kind of thing. And I was kind of floating out there like driftwood on an angry sea, just floating out there. And one day I came here when we were over at the old place, right there on Taylor. And it was as if something happened to me. I wasn't sure in my human mind, but somewhere in a soul level, there was some healing going on. It was kind of like moving furniture inside my body. It was moving stuff. It was redigesting. It was filtering through the brain and clearing out the stuff that was caught in the filters. It was pretty amazing. And I went there, and I didn't go back for a while. And then I went again. And then I went consistently for a little while. And then I didn't go. And then I went again. And then I lost my spiritual advisor. He was a Chihuahuan Indian man. And he always spoke to me of a higher power. He always spoke to me that it was about living comfortable in my own skin. And I went there. And I got a message from the Reverend Jeff about this little old goat, and that a bouquet of flowers were going to be coming my way for all my good works. And 2 days later, I'm at a meeting. I was conducting a meeting for recovering people, and I'm writing, and I look up, and this little deaf lady, I was doing it in the Deaf Community Center for Hard of Hearing, comes in with a great big bouquet of flowers. And I said, this is where I belong. I don't feel like an oddball here. I feel like whatever I say and whatever I do is understood here. There is an unconditional love uncompared to any other. There is no death here. And that's what we always believed in. You know, as we sat around our bonfires and we sat with our powwows and our relatives late at night, you know, we always knew there was no death. And we could speak to our loved ones on the other side. But we could never say that in school. In school, I was sent home with a note that my mother was a witch. Ooh, that was horrible and embarrassing. And I was punished, and I was stood in a corner with my face in the wall, because I was different than the other children, and I spoke different than the other children, and I learned quickly not to speak of our ways in school, of the things in our traditional ways in our legends, because they were not acceptable. So when I got here again, I felt so good, and I smile a lot. I smile a lot because it's free, and I am free. And you know, you can go to any place on the surface of this earth, even if you don't know the language, and all you have to do is smile, and you speak the language, because they smile right back. They speak the same language. It's so cool. I love it. Well, I'm running out of gas now. And that's pretty expensive stuff, isn't it? And I left my notes at home, so I've just been giving it to you, you know, just from what I'm feeling. Oh, somebody loves me. Okay. So about the smile and the prayers, I want to thank you all for all of your prayers. For the time that I burned my face, I had second and third degree burns on my face, on this side. See, there, this side, the one with the dimple. And it you could see my bone. You know, second, third degree burns. It was pretty serious. It had my eye closed, my mouth webbed together like a spider web. And they said that I was going to need plastic surgery. It was that bad. But the prayers, the congregation was praying for me. And my skin began to heal at a miraculous rate. They kept taking pictures because they couldn't believe what was going on. They couldn't believe it. And I kept telling them, it's the power of prayer. It's the power of prayer. And they would take more pictures. And it really hurt, too. It really, really hurt, because they would scrape the old skin. If you're familiar with burns, they would take a brush, like a brush you would comb the hair on a horse. It's steel, stainless steel brush. And it had all these little bristles, and they would scrape the skin and scrape the skin, and they wouldn't give me anything for it. Boy, did that hurt. And one day I'm sitting there and I'm praying, please don't let them scrape me today. Please don't let them scrape me today. And I opened my eyes, and a plastic bottle moved across the countertop, and I saw it move. And there wasn't an earthquake. And I knew right then that my prayers were heard, and then the doubt came in. Oh, it must have been moisture, it must have been this, that. And it moved one more time back to where it came. And I said, okay, thank you very much, I got it. And they came in and they did not scrape me that day. That's how much I was healing. And I got a little angel in the mail that year, that time that I was all covered up and bandaged and couldn't go outside and wore big hats, and it was pretty horrific. And the little angel came to me, anonymous, and I knew that the little angel came to me from everybody's prayers. And to this very day, to this very day, I have that little angel sitting on my bed table, right next to me, right next to my clock, so I can see it. For me, you see, even though I had been in class for a little while, something horrific like that had to happen to prove me my own miracle, that the truth is the truth and God is all healing and nothing but love can bring it forth. It's that unconditional love. And every time I look in the mirror, I see that and I say, oh my gosh, that is incredible. You know, that is an incredible healing. And it takes me looking in the mirror to remember. I used to look in the mirror because I was vain. Now I look in the mirror to remember. So I leave you with this, my friends, because it's the only card I got. To smile. What sunshine is to flowers, smiles are to humanity. They are but trifles, trifles to be sure, but scattered along life's pathway, the good they do is inconceivable. Thank you very kindly.
Isn't that neat? And you look at that face of hers. There's not a bit of scar on there. Not one bit of scar.